This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
In Exodus 9:1, it is written, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, let my people go, so that they may worship me.'" Let my people go. To the movies!
Yay!
In 1954, Cecil B. DeMille took on the grand challenge of remaking his 1923 film, The Ten Commandments, and created a three-hour classic that was, at the time, the most expensive film ever made, and remains the golden calf standard of biblical epics. On his protagonist, DeMille said,
"Moses is the keystone..." Just kidding.
"Moses is the keystone to every man's ethical code. He was the first man of record in history to conceive of the law as separate from the will of a ruler, to choose whether a man should live by grace of the law or law by grace of man."
Mm.
Making a movie about the book of Exodus always entails great cost and time. DeMille's version cost a huge, at the time, $13 million, and the most recent Christian Bale version cost $140 million. And while The Prince of Egypt came in at a relatively mid-level $70 million, the Parting Waters animation took animators 2 full years to complete. Just that alone, worked on by 350 different people. Not unlike a certain group of people building the pyramids. And then there's the music. Composer Hans Zimmer and Broadway veteran Stephen Schwartz act as the peanut butter and jelly holding this terrific musical sandwich together. Musical theater nerds can geek out on the songs written by Schwartz, including Deliver Us, Through Heaven's Eyes, and the Oscar-winning duet When You Believe, while also playing a drinking game called Spot the Singing Double. Spoiler alert, you'll have alcohol poisoning by the time the credits roll. Moses' story is told in the Hebrew Bible, the Christian Old Testament, and the Quran, a shared legend that spans the three largest monotheistic religions on Earth. The filmmakers collaborated with over 600 religious experts to make sure the film was accurate to the spiritual meaning of the story and inclusive enough to people of all faiths. And even with the liberties taken, their efforts were successful enough that both Jewish and Christian viewers could feel great connection to the movie. The story of freedom from oppression is timeless. And with this movie, we can safely say, these guys delivered. So we watched Prince of Egypt, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah.
Deliver us.
Let my people go. Whoops.
We're insane.
I look very crazy.
Welcome
back to good Christian Fun.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
You always say welcome back. It's just a welcome because this could be someone's first episode ever.
Why are we fighting?
We're not fighting.
Kevin, we're in a fight.
I don't think so. I love you, Caroline.
This brings up something that I wanted to address. Ask me how my heart is.
How's your heart?
Kevin, am I mean to you?
By the way, I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have a little good
Christian fun.
Christian fun. How's your heart, Kevin? Am I mean
Kevin,
to you?
Kevin, am I mean to you?
On or off mic?
Either, I guess. I feel like I got a lot of people saying today, Caroline shits on Kevin, and we love it. And we're going to shit on Kevin, too. And I was like, oh, no.
I feel comfortable being a lightning rod of hate on this show. I feel like if I wasn't that, I don't know who I'd be.
Yeah, so, it is a big part of your identity.
I don't. It's all of my identity, so I don't object particularly.
Okay.
I don't think you're particularly mean though, because we have a trust in a decent foundation of a friendship before we even turn on the mics.
Great. I just needed you to say that.
Yeah.
So people know.
Oh yeah, no. There's nothing but love in this room.
There's a semblance of love.
There's a subtext of love here. No animosity whatsoever.
All right, here's a compliment coming at you.
Okay.
Your hair looks great today.
Thank you.
If I went redhead, would you feel threatened?
Yeah. 1,000%. Dang. There can only be one on each podcast. Anyone that has two or more gathered is not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
How's your heart?
My heart is pretty good. Actually, no. It's real. I was not feeling it this week. And today in particular, I was like, work was bad. Mm. I was getting frustrated. I was getting stressed out to the point of feeling sick.
Sick?
Have you ever done that where it's like you're so stressed, I think I have a fever?
I get like my stomach is turning. I've never gotten to where like my temp is up.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That's not good.
It's okay, because now I'm here to have a little good Christian fun. What is good Christian fun, Caroline?
Good Christian fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture. We talk about the music and the movies and the,
mostly just that.
Mostly those. Sometimes we will cartoons do other that Christian stuff. Make.
Yeah, we'll get to the videos. We'll get to the books.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll bring back our guest tonight and have him read the whole Bible, and then have him back on the show.
I bet he's got a great God
voice. For every book of the Bible. But yeah, we're not here to make fun of Christianity, or bash it, or mock it. We're also not here to proselytize to you or make you go to church.
Nope.
We're just here to talk about this stuff and have a little good Christian fun along the way.
That's right.
So I feel like we're going to get there tonight. So in between the last episode we put out now, mm-hmm. we haven't received any more treasures for Kevin and Caroline, that is.
I also heard pearls before swine.
Pearls before Caroline. You like being compared to a pig?
I don't like that one.
It's like a
Sarah Palin. So listeners, if you can do one better than that, of anything biblical that rhymes with Caroline. Because Kevin rhymes with heaven, so he gets all the good rhymes.
Oh, yeah. Through Kevin's Eyes is a song we'll talk about tonight. It's great.
I get real jealous.
But the topic for tonight is The Prince of Egypt, a 20-year-old movie. It came out two decades ago.
It's 20 years old?
It came out in 1998.
Tell you what.
We were recording this in 2018.
Holds up.
But we can't do it alone. Guys, we need a special guest to help us discuss this movie. Folks, you know him from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or Roadies, and you'll see his new TV show, Living Biblically, coming to CBS. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Patrick Walsh!
Hello.
Yeah. Woo. Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Doing pretty good? Yeah. Sing your praise to the Walsh. Come on, everybody. Patrick Walsh is here on the show. Now the praise Patrick Walsh. Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
Patrick.
That felt nice.
Yeah.
Fun for you, buddy.
Patrick, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I saw Prince of Egypt in the theater.
Whoa. Yeah, I want to, yeah. Well, how did you, when was your first
recollection
of it? Quite a
bit older than both of you, I would imagine.
I think we saw it in the theater, probably.
I think I did too. Okay. I would have been
a child.
A child, yes, essentially.
You would have been six, right?
What were you, like 30?
I was in my late 40s.
50?
No, but in 1998, I would have been 17.
Okay.
Nice.
Was it a date night?
No. The worst date movie ever. I used to go on the day after Christmas to see five movies for the price of none.
What?
Wow.
So I would pretend I had to use the phone at the West Olive 16 movie theater. I would look annoyed on the phone and talk.
Where is this geographically?
It's in St. Louis.
Okay.
Then I would pretend to be on the phone for a while until people forgot that I was even on the phone. Then I would slide into the theater. My friends all paid for the first one, but I like the thrill of getting five for none.
This is a great grift.
It was a good grift.
Can you give me a little example of how the phone call would go? Just for about 20
seconds.
Like,
I know, but yeah, I understand that, but
so it was always contentious.
See, I've already tuned you out. I would let you go into my bathroom right now.
Like, you see I'm fighting, but it's not anything you cared enough to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, if I was like, he got hit by a train, then you'd listen.
It'd be too much. It'd be too much. Yeah.
I kept it vague.
I know it's like the perfect medium level.
And then you saw five movies every time. This was a tradition.
Right. But in 1998, I saw, these might be wrong, might be mixing up years, but I think it was Prince of Egypt, Patch Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be around the same year.
Jack Frost with Michael Keaton, which was nearly unwatchable.
From No Dad to Snow Dad.
That's right. From No Dad to Snow Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that tagline?
Yeah, it's just in there.
Then I want to say maybe As Good as It Gets. And I want to say we capped things off with maybe one of my all-time favorite movies, Jackie Brown.
Wow.
Is that your favorite Tarantino?
it has recently edged out Pulp Fiction. It took a long time.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
It's a more mature work, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
So in our later years, in our twilight years.
When you are as old as me.
We'll relate more to the plight of the bail bondsman.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into that.
Well, Patrick, before we dive into the topic today,
yeah,
what is your background with faith stuff? Now, you're working on a show, Living Biblically.
That's correct.
About a man who lives by the book.
There's probably a good chunk of our listeners that actually read that book.
Yeah, which is based on the A.J. Jacobs book.
Yeah.
I was very surprised in posting it to Facebook or whatever how many people I knew had read the book.
Oh, really?
But it was a big seller.
Mm-hmm.
The book, by the way, is a guy that literally lives biblically for a year. That's
yes.
What
it's A.J. Jacobs. It's called The Year of Living Biblically. It's a great book. Very funny book. He just did it basically to write a book. He does these obsessive things. So I knew if I was going to have somebody do it on a show, he would have to have deeper, more relatable reasons than like, I want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because he drives everyone in his life crazy, as you can imagine. Because he's not, kind of the overall goal of the show is to show that if you live your life in general by the Bible, even the priest tells him, his priest tells him, no one can live their life 100% of the Bible. Don't try to do that. That's mm-hmm. where people get into trouble.
Hmm.
But he does. He thinks he has to go all in, like a cleanse, or else he'll slip. In each episode, he learns that that's not always possible. And to just take away the positive lesson, I guess, mm-hmm. is what I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm making it all sound schmaltzy. It's actually a very funny show.
Oh, that sounds great.
And the book's very funny, too, even if you are not
a reader.
In any way religious or a reader, yes. It's I think a lot of people who were not religious loved it, and a lot of people who were very religious loved it, which
sure.
is hard to do.
That's
and
cool.
the goal of this show, but
that's the goal of this show.
That's right.
We share goals.
We're just yeah. like
we're the same as your CBS multicam sitcom.
Hey.
Cameron Manheim and Dave Krumholtz. I will say I saw the pilot. Mr. Walsh
yes.
was kind enough to invite me to the pilot taping.
That's right.
Had a great time.
I would have liked to be there.
I got a plus one. But
you can come to a taping anytime you want if we get a second season. But yeah, you saw a longer version because then each week when it ends, the lady with the stopwatch says you're like 2 minutes over. And that's good because you're like, oh, okay, there's probably a few jokes that I can get out of there that didn't uh-huh. work as well as the others or stuff like that. But on the pilot, it was like 13 minutes over.
Oh, boy.
So you saw a much shorter version, but we had to like really cut some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just tricky.
So what is your own personal background with faith and stuff?
Raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty strict Catholic.
What does strict Catholic mean for you?
Just kind of told that was the right way, basically. Wait till you're marriage. Wait till you're married.
Mm-hmm.
I was confirmed. Actually, I was asking my dad, because we were going to do a confirmation episode, and we didn't. But we were talking about it with my parents, and they said I was going to a class to get confirmed. And the guy teaching the class would like play with an acoustic guitar, of course, and stuff,
nice.
And start sobbing. But it was like hysterically crying.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And my dad was like, I'm not comfortable with this. This is getting real weird. And they pulled me out of the confirmation class. But I eventually got confirmed.
That is weird.
If I recall correctly, my dad's AA sponsor was my confirmation sponsor.
Kind of circle of life.
A dual role. It was sweet.
He passed that down to you.
And I did communion and all the...
sacraments?
Sacraments.
Sacraments. I did all the sacraments except, of course, getting married, although
you go
I am
to a
engaged.
Lot of mass. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mass every Sunday. I also could not go to confession because, touchy area here, my dad did not want me to be alone with a priest ever. Which
oh.
I always found weird that he was so adamant about me
wow.
being raised Catholic.
Foresight on your
but
dad's
then
part.
But then would not allow me to be around
but
priests.
We have one Walsh amendment to the
yeah.
Catholic upbringing.
Oh my gosh.
And I couldn't drink the wine at communion because
whoa.
I think he thought that I would make me an alcoholic, even though I would hope it was just grape juice, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, now you'll never know.
Yeah.
Dang it.
That's right.
Thanks, Dad.
Have you guys ever been to a church where the communion was wine and you were expecting grape juice? Because tell you what, that's a real trip that happens.
I even now, because I got in the habit of not taking it when I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
I still don't. I also haven't been to church in a while. But I never liked just the single wipe on the cup when like 80 people are drinking off
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The single
Christians,
wipe.
We this do is... like little tiny plastic cups for everybody.
Oh,
like everyone gets their own little gulp so you never swap
we would
spit.
Do a big chalice and after each gulp,
and they would just wipe it with
the priest would wipe
napkin?
It with the same towel over Ooh. And over and over again.
I don't think that does the trick.
I wouldn't think so either.
Okay, so you went to a lot of mass. This is all growing up.
Yeah, and then when I was about 18 or so, my dad said, you know, you don't have to go to church anymore. And I kind of stopped going.
Wow.
I would go on like midnight mass, Christmas Eve, stuff like that. And then he eventually kind of stopped going. He eventually turned completely against the Catholic Church when the scandal started breaking out. Like, oh, wow. I think a lot of people's parents did. A lot of people's parents are diehard Catholics all the way. They don't care. But he walked away. He now teaches theology at community college. And we don't talk about it a great deal.
That's interesting.
I think he just wanted me to get morals from it. And then that was it.
So,
from religion.
Did your mom feel the same way? Did she still go? Or was she also kind of like...
No, she stopped. She was, I think, not religious really when she married my dad and kind mm-hmm. of absorbed into that.
I see.
But I went. I had to go to PSR, which is public school religion. Because my dad hated Catholic school, so I didn't want to go that far. But I would have to go to a class for like 3 hours every Wednesday.
And it was not a Catholic-led thing. It was just a religious
it was.
Class?
It
oh,
was
okay.
put on by the Catholic Church, but it was for kids who did not go to Catholic Church to get like 3 hours of religion every
week.
Oh,
okay.
Which was fine. And confirmation like, came out of that program,
okay,
I think.
Got it. Yeah. It sounds like Young Life. I don't know if you ever heard of that program, but it's like a...
No.
They go to high schools and it's a Christian group. And it's kind of like, they just incorporate sort of a youth group experience just okay. at a public school.
Right.
And then if you want to opct in for the Jesus aspect of it, it's open to that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
I recall doing True Love Waits, which was a school group.
Oh, yeah. Purity.
Hell yeah.
Purity group.
No, don't
strangely,
time.
Just in the school. But my girlfriend and I were in that. And then remained celibate for quite some time after that course.
Because did it scare you off?
Because you kept your promise, right?
Just because nobody wanted to have sex with me is the actual answer. But yeah, I was keeping my promise that true love waits.
That's right. You're man of your word.
Wait, yeah. The promise is, I promise that true love waits. It's not.
I'll tell you, if I know one thing, true love does wait.
I promise you.
Well, there's a great Radiohead B-side called
True Love,
Waits.
Yeah.
That made me think they must know what that
I did
organization
not know,
is.
I did not know that until last
week.
Jen brought it up.
It was so weird because everyone was like, you know, like 16, 17 and amped up. And then we would like go and talk about how we didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But then
it's so strange.
In my experience, there is a sexual charge even to that. Because
there was.
So wrong. It's so wrong that right. it feels right.
Or going in detail of like, you know, I hugged a girl the other day and I hugged her for maybe like a minute. And
right.
I feel terrible about it. It was so bad, but like her bra was showing.
Those are the kind of testimonies you heard.
Well, also, I mean, at least in terms of me and my girlfriend, we were not going all the way. But we were doing other things, and we would just go and lie
mm-hmm.
in the religious group every week.
Wait, they made you report every week?
You not report, but everyone kind of was discussing like their struggle and things like that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Their conf.
My
yeah.
struggles.
Yeah. But I always found church very, very boring. And I mostly remember thinking like I would do like action movies in the stained glass, like people crashing through the stained glass,
that's awesome.
Like mm-hmm. Die Hard mm-hmm. or whatever, and swinging from things in the ceiling. It was a very ornate, old style mm-hmm. Catholic church. And I never was paying any attention. I liked when you get to shake hands with the adults for the peace be with you.
Yeah. Networking.
You like that
you
part.
Feel like an adult kind of.
Oh,
now
yeah.
The germaphobe in me would not like that.
Sure.
But I haven't been in a while.
Did you ever feel like God was very real to you and that you stepped away at some point? Or was
yes.
it always just like a concept?
Yes. I was completely on board till I was probably 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of like, I don't know that I want this to like govern my life, I would say.
Yeah.
And I hated feeling bad and guilty about everything, which I did and still do, really, even though I'm not religious.
Church or no.
It's a very Catholic thing that gets in there and you can't get it out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does ruin. I don't know how graphic you guys get on the show.
No,
I'm not
we get extremely graphic every episode.
But it sort of ruins, you know, like sex, really, from like because all you hear about it is that it's just the worst.
Right.
I often tell the story about how my dad told me that when you climax, it is like when your arm falls asleep and you start to get the feeling back.
No, it's not.
Which is the worst feeling in the world.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Pins and needles.
Yeah, that's like a very painful,
right.
unfun feeling.
So he was like, that's what it's like.
So you're like shaking your dick trying to get the feeling back into it for
come
a while.
Come on, man, come on.
But then when you're married, then it feels good and then everything is good.
Right.
And never to have sex before you're married. And I remember asking my mom, when I was a little kid, I was like, so you didn't have sex before you're married? My mom like dropped a bowl and it shattered on the floor.
What? Really?
It was just a that attitude was always in the house, and it made it seem like sex was some terrible thing. And it really messes people up, I think, because you associate it with terror.
Is your mom dropping shit in the kitchen? Right.
Yeah, because it's like
flashback.
Unspoken, but also terrifying, but also like supposed to be glorious, but you'll never know because you made this promise that
And then it pushes people into getting married when they're 20 because they can't wait anymore to have sex, and then you wind up with somebody you're not compatible with.
Yeah, I think that happens at a lot of Christian colleges. I've heard that too.
Yeah,
and not to paint with a broad brush joke, but like there's
name
a problem.
Colleges.
There's a problem with a lot of like Christians getting married, you know, after their sophomore year or something,
right.
And then a really, really high divorce rate from those couples just because they rush into it, of course, or like they don't know each other as well.
And then
but
the
you're
church,
so horny,
I'm sure.
And you have to get rid of that horniness in some way.
That's
so
right.
We just kind of do that.
Get rid of that horniness.
That's what I said in my vows.
Oh, that, I was there. It's true. So now, and especially with, you know, working on this show that you're doing, that has so much to do with biblical stuff and themes of faith.
Yeah.
What do you feel like is one of the most surprising things that you found in researching or something that stood out to you when putting together this show?
I think what surprised me was how much I remembered for something that I really felt like this is something I can now kind of flush out of my memory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or that you had checked out of as you were in it.
So I can't say anything was a big shock because I did go pretty deep. I remembered when I went to this religion class, like I remembered a lot of the Bible stuff. Mm-hmm. There's some crazy things. I mean, a big part of the book that is really just in the pilot, and then the rest of the shows wound up being just kind of like little kind of moral tales each week that had nothing to do with the book. But if you look at the Bible, and it was like false idols, we tried to do like the big ones first. So what is the modern day false idol? That's what we discussed as a writer's room. So everybody, a false idol, of course, is something you put above God or something that is overtaking your life. That would be the iPhone would be the modern day iPhone. So they're like, well, Moses would say that you have to destroy a false idol. He's very much against it. And then he winds up shattering his iPhone and then his life falls apart over the course of like 24 hours. He gets very lost and everything falls apart.
That's cute.
So some of those like are pretty surface level discussions of the Bible. But then we do episodes that are like, does prayer work? And does it matter if prayer works?
That is intense.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
And they're still funny, but they're like, we try to get into more bigger issues. In terms of stuff like in the book, he learns that you can't mix fabrics. In the book, whatever
Leviticus.
It is, Year of Living Biblically. So we do a quick gag with that on the show where he shows up in like an all white suit, which you remember from seeing the pilot. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant. Like, you're taking this too extreme. But you don't know with these rules. I guess what I've learned is that people are still so angry about this stuff, which was not a shock to me either.
Mm-hmm.
But like anytime an article will mention that the show is coming out, there's 500 comments that are like, well, they're going to make fun of us again.
Huh.
Would they do the Year of Living Quranically?
Oh, geez.
Would they ever do this? And on and on and on. And everybody is so angry and just waiting to be mad about the show.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice little show. It's a funny show.
It's a nice little
jokes.
Show. I can attest to that.
It sounds like it's probably more generous to Christianity than you would even imagine, too. Like,
it is. I mean, the prayer one, I would say, is the closest we get to being like very kind of a pro-faith message. But the others do not really have that. They don't go the other way. But his wife is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So you get those discussions
That's
as
cool.
well. And like not changing on that. It's not like by the end she's like, I do think God is the path. Like I said, she'll never convert. And then you can get into more serious issues, but you have to figure out a way to kind of make it funny.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you guys, I had to go to the Television Critics Association right here in beautiful downtown Pasadena.
Ooh, Pasadena, California.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the first question was like, so if your lead character is following the Bible 100%, I guess he hates gay people? Well, why come to the show like that? Why not just hope for the best?
Why be like, maybe they'll heal that this time.
Right.
Nope.
I can't imagine anyone being upset by it. And I think I'm going to have to talk to some of these like mega churches. They're like, you know, we can put trailers for your show in like mega churches.
Oh, interesting.
I can't imagine that's
what they want.
I would love to see Patrick Walsh tour the mega churches of the United States.
That I won't do.
Joel Patrick Osteen. Walsh. Now, I got a little buddy coming up here. He's going to tell you about his new show.
Change.
I haven't seen it, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward.
But they, you know, they were like, we want to push it and let, like they did with the Roma Downey Bible show and stuff. And I kept saying, well, it's not.
Oh, Touched by an Angel or the other one?
The other one, okay. the Bible.
Oh, the Bible. Yeah.
Right. So I keep, of course, you want the show to do well, but I keep saying, like, I want to be as clear as I can here. Like, this show is not the Bible, or it's not Prince of Egypt. You know, it's not like a somber retelling of Bible tales.
Sure.
So at least I want them to see four or five and understand the tone before they ask me to, you know, put my name, before they start airing this before the church. It doesn't make fun of Christians, but I don't want somebody to think that it right. does.
That's basically our entire problem with this show as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yep.
It's neither nor, so no one's happy, really.
Boy, well, that's a very bad way to look at
good
it.
Christian fun. Nobody's
No, people
happy.
Have managed to be happy yeah. with it. It works out. Yeah. I'd say Christians are very defensive of the way they're depicted because it's easy to make a caricature out of it a lot of the time, which I think is why Christians make so many movies like about themselves.
Yes.
Like, see, we're thoughtful and we're nice and our movies are shit, but like we have the right idea.
Well, and having worked as a comedy writer for a long time, I wonder if you would agree with the notion that, like, I feel like a first draft joke for most people's religion is like, here's why it's dumb. Right? Or just kind of like kind of a slant on like
that's correct.
The mocker, like they take like a Ned Flanders thing, like they take it too seriously, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Where and it's funnier to do.
Bill Maher, his only joke that he's been doing now for 30 years is if you are religious, you're stupid. Mm-hmm. Just some variation on that.
Sure.
Over.
Right. Yeah.
So I understand. And that's the only, that's what I was trying to say again at this thing on Saturday. I was like,
it sounds like a trial. It sounds like
it is a trial
the
of sorts.
Of a few good men.
The Council of Patrick. Yeah.
Well, then afterwards, everybody kept saying how well it went because usually they're really mean and rude and like be like, but the show's stupid. Like nobody said that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But yeah, some of the questions on it were like, are you doing this because you feel that religious people are underserved on television? That was part of the pitch.
Oh.
Is that it's either Bill Maher and religion is stupid, or South Park or whatever, mm-hmm. which I've laughed at too. Not Bill Maher, but you know.
We do too.
because there is a lot of fun to be had with it.
Sure.
But then the flip side of it are these, how like, you know, every week at the box office, like the number two movie is some religious movie you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or Left Behind, which I'm sure you guys are covering.
Mm-hmm.
Or
never heard of it.
You know, all those things. Seventh Heaven, I'm sure, was this way as well, where it's sanitized to the point that no one who isn't extremely religious would watch it.
Can find an entry point.
Yes.
To it.
Right.
Yes.
So if 84% of the world is religious, and they are, as I learned from researching this pitch of this
good
show.
Fact.
That's surprising.
Why is there nothing for just like a normal person who happens to have religion in their life?
Right.
But then you also have to make it entertaining to those who are not. Which is not, I wouldn't say easy to do, but it's just like you don't go to those jokes where everyone on the show takes religion very seriously, because I do as well, and I think most people do.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who just say it's stupid. And then that's the end of their discussion on it. It's not that interesting.
And that's not very funny, really,
no.
either. Yeah.
But at its core, I mean, the show's like a show about trying to be a good person.
Yeah.
Well, you can catch the new podcast on HeadGum, Living Biblically, Boys, starring Pat Walsh and myself.
Please, more people will watch
it. What about me?
Oh, you'll be a guest.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Thank
just
you.
Got shut out of our own
really,
show.
So
when's
fast.
The show come on? When's it premiere again?
February 26th.
February 26th, so everyone can watch it.
It's a Monday night. It's like 9:30, 8:30 Central or something like that.
A perfect show to watch with mom and dad. Or
you know what?
Are you his hype man now?
Yeah.
I would say it is. And it's like, I would say the goal of it is to take Bible stuff and apply it to life. So like his dad's coming to town. He has a bad relationship with his dad. So the episode is like, how do you honor your father, as the Bible says, if he has to follow mm-hmm. the Bible, if your father is a jerk?
Yeah.
You know, like a fairly simple tale, mm-hmm. but a biblical tale, but it's not like forcing religion upon you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's there are discussions of religion. Yeah. Yes. Some of them are more religious. Not obviously the prayer one is very religious. But.
Uh-huh. And you get into like the minute theology of like transubstantiation. Is that real? That's a season 3 premiere.
Are we predestined or not?
Yeah.
Season 4 finale is Calvinism versus Arminianism. Oh boy. Well, check that out. But I think it's time to dive into the topic for today. Come on, let's go. Prince of Egypt came out 20 years ago. Caroline, when did you first watch this movie?
I'm pretty sure I saw it when it came out because I remember it pretty well. And I remember it's always linked to the El Dorado movie, too, because I think they were done by like the same animator or something.
Yeah, I think it's DreamWorks.
Yeah, they came out around the same time.
Road to El Dorado?
Yeah.
And they kind of look the same. And so anyway, so they kind of, I got them mixed up for a little bit, I think.
The Road to Egypt.
Yeah.
The Prince of El Dorado.
Moses becomes a god?
Sure.
Anyway, so I'd seen it then, and then I'm pretty sure I rewatched it at some point in my life just out of pure love for it, and then came back again this week to see it again.
I have no recollection of watching it for the first time. I don't know if I saw it in the theaters. I don't know if I saw it when it was on home video or
but
home
DVD.
I know I saw it because once it started, I was singing along. I was like, why do I know this?
Yeah,
well,
right?
If you're a religious young man, I would imagine your parents really wanted you to see Prince of Egypt.
But you know what? I had an experience with my parents where I think with this, I remember them nitpicking parts of it
because they're like,
well, it's not really Christian.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because
that is a good discussion for us to have.
I think so.
Is this a Christian movie?
Yeah. And this actually leads me to an email.
Oh.
An email I got from a listener named Becca. And she wrote in, thanks for the podcast. Love listening to it. I'm Jewish, but I've grown up in evangelical Christian communities with Christian best friends. So I've heard a lot of things you talk about. And she said, I know you're planning out 2018, and you've mentioned Prince of Egypt. So this is before we announced on the previous week's episode that we were doing it. So we got this email yesterday. You mentioned Prince of Egypt. I want to submit a request on behalf of Jews everywhere. Have a Jewish guest for Prince of Egypt.
Ooh. Oops.
Sorry.
Are you maybe even just a little bit Jewish?
Not at all.
Okay.
But because I have a rabbi character who gives the Jewish point of view on the show.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
Okay. Well,
but so, I'm not Jewish.
Well, so we can all maybe just pull from some of our experiences and
and say, I think Jesus, like,
if we pool our resources, we're maybe half.
I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That's kind of it. Okay.
There's no excuse. I'm sorry. We didn't get a Jewish guest for this show.
Well, here's what Becca goes on to say. I honestly have no idea if this was as important to other Jews as it was to me, but when Prince of Egypt came out, it was so incredibly validating. Every piece of pop culture or media that had to do with any religion was Christian. For the first time ever, all my classmates and friends would be seeing a Jewish movie, a Jewish story. They would understand why I had to eat matzah for 8 days in April while they were gorging on Easter candy. They would hear Hebrew songs. I will be totally honest with you. It never occurred to me, even this many years later, that anyone saw it as a Christian movie until you mentioned it on the podcast.
That's so fascinating.
Of course, I should have realized it was a Christian movie. I feel kind of stupid now. No, don't feel stupid, Becca.
Yeah, I don't think you're
wrong. The story of Moses in the Exodus is the single most important story in the Jewish heritage. Outside of Shabbat and the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Kippur? Okay. Passover is the most important Jewish holiday. The story of Exodus is the beginning of the entire tradition of they tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat, line of Jewish holidays, followed by Hanukkah and Tish B'Av and Yah HaShoah. Sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive.
Sorry, forgive us.
It's that one's Holocaust Remembrance Day. So Becca brings up a good point. Is this a Jewish movie?
Yeah, because that's funny to me. I thought this was a Christian movie. But watching it again, I thought there's really nothing here that would be Christian unless you count like a slain lamb as an allusion to Jesus. But there's Jesus is never talked about.
No.
There's never talking about like the Redeemer coming soon or the Messiah. Like none of that is in it. It's just purely about the Exodus.
It's almost like when you see Christian music categorized as gospel at Best Buy in the CD section where it's like, this isn't gospel music. Right. I don't think DC Talk is gospel music. So
no.
Well, all Christian music is spreading the gospel, so
okay, well, maybe. But it's like Christian became a catch-all for Bible movie.
Right.
It's a Bible movie. But I think if you're going technically, Yeah, it's a Jewish movie way more than it's a, there's not one mention of
right?
I hadn't thought about it either. I mean, like, is the Ten Commandments, I guess, is more Christian.
Why, though?
It's Jewish.
Maybe it isn't.
Well, Christians, I mean, it's in our Bible, too. So, yeah. Like, we Christians feel like we own this story as well.
Yeah.
So the Ten Commandments, you know, that's why you have Roy Moore putting that in front of the courthouse. But, like...
Can we talk about Roy Moore for a second? God,
good grief. He's something of a Christian hero of mine.
Oh, okay.
He's who you modeled the protagonist of the show on, right?
That's correct.
He consulted heavily.
Yeah.
He has an EP. He got EP credit.
Yeah, but I mean, the Ten Commandments are Jewish.
Yeah,
that's Moses true. Being Jewish, but Jesus is Jewish.
So in that whole
so
3 hour
maybe we're not so different after all.
Biblical epic. Yeah, I would say both are Jewish.
Yeah, yeah. It's a biblical tale, if anything.
Yeah.
So one thing I remembered after I said, hey, Pat, come on, we'll do Prince of Egypt. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Patrick Walsh is the man that I first saw Inside Out with, and he's the only person I've known to fall asleep during Inside Out after having, I think, 2 cocktails at the Cheesecake Factory next door.
What a way to go.
Well, that's not what was putting me to sleep. I'm not a big animated movie guy.
Oh, no.
I'm just never have been. Even when I was a kid.
Never really. Will be.
Even with this movie?
Oh, I didn't really care for The Prince of Egypt.
Oh, no.
I mean, it didn't hold my interest. You guys both love The Prince of Egypt?
I'm going to blow your dick off.
Please don't.
You didn't like it either?
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
I loved it as well.
Okay. Yeah, I really loved it.
What were your qualms with The Prince of Egypt?
I love Steve Martin and Martin Short.
The stars of this movie is the sorcerers.
I mean, they're essentially doing brownface.
Well, okay, that's something we should talk about.
You wouldn't do any of that in today's world.
All of them are doing brown face.
They're all the actors are white, which I found interesting.
Sure.
And I don't think...
Except for Danny Glover.
In terms of how much society has changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In just 20 years. I found that very
interesting. Val Kilmer is not Jewish.
No.
And there's also a long tradition of white non-Jewish men playing Moses.
Sure.
I mean, you have Charlton Heston, Christian Bale. Like,
that's right.
Val Kilmer. It's really weird. Yeah. But that was something I thought about too, was this like star-studded cast that didn't have any Middle Eastern people in it or anything like that.
Yeah, I found that weird. And then when they made, was it Ben-Hur they remade a few years back?
Oh, yeah.
They got into some trouble for kind of doing the same thing.
Right.
I got it. It was a simpler time, 1998. But I just thought, everyone in the world knows this story. Why are you telling it in such a straightforward and fairly dull way?
You thought it was dull.
With kind of cool old style animation, but that also looked pretty dated at this point.
I do want to talk about the animation because I disagree, and I thought the animation was really beautiful.
Yes.
Because one, the faces that they use for the characters are faces you just don't see in animation a lot. Like, they're really elongated and weird. And I was reading a lot about that. And the animator even made, like, the Egyptians more symmetrical. And then the Hebrews were, like, more earthy and, like, interesting looking. to just kind of, like, differentiate, like, you know, the very, like, straightforward Egyptians versus, like, the Hebrew people. And they thought a lot about it. And they did all this, like, 2D hand-painted backgrounds, which looked amazing. And then a lot of, like, 3D mixed in, which does look a little dated now.
The 3D stuff looks weird.
Yeah, but for 98, that was, like, that did blow my dick off. Yeah, you know.
That did blow my dick off.
I loved the flashback when he looked at the hieroglyphics and they, like, told his story.
That was rad.
That was cool.
Yeah. I remember that terrifying me as a kid.
This movie is gruesome in parts.
It's very graphic.
Yeah.
They don't shy away from the fact that... Ramesses' dad, who's in the movie, like, killed several Hebrew
Patrick
children.
Stewart,
yeah.
Wow. No, I agree. There was something kind of dreamy about the animation to me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, as much as I love, you know, your Pixar greats now, and I bet it is so cost prohibitive to do hand-drawn animation that we never see it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen. Because now, the closest thing you would see is, like, the stuff that kind of looks like Flash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the old Flash, where you're kind of like the South Parks.
Yeah. They don't release any just standard animated movies anymore? I guess not.
I don't think so. And even like little kids shows that they watch on TV for the most part, are like 3D animated.
Yeah. Like Reboot.
It's like faster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed, this is like the last of the Mohicans of like real big scale animated movies.
It felt like watching Sleeping Beauty, which I think was made in the 40s or 50s by Disney. And they made a really big deal about the animation at that point, too. Like, the screen was extra wide, and they hand-painted all the scenes and everything like that. And they talked a lot about how many animators it took. And it kind of reminded me about that, of, like, the level of... I could just tell there was, like, a lot of thoughtfulness that they did. And the way, Egypt looks symmetrical and massive, and everything is so epic, and the scale is huge. Mm-hmm. Nothing is very small or intimate for the most part.
Yeah, the whitewashing of the cast is... pretty wild. It's pretty wild that we were just like, and I assume, you know, just doing research for this, I was like, oh, you know, some group would protest this. No.
Not a one. It's a very different time.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Martin is playing like a guy who it looks nearly black, which is crazy because there's no one whiter than Steve Martin.
He's the short one. He's the short one.
That's right. He also looked like the mother in Mulan, not the mother, but the one that's training all the geisha girls, or the young girls, like preparing for the wedding. Do you remember this?
I never saw Mulan.
I don't have much memory.
To see women protagonists in my movies.
And also Asian
protagonists. And I haven't seen Star Wars for this reason. I'm so sorry.
Movies are going to be ruined for you.
But if you don't like animated movies, Patrick.
Not overall true, but I'm never in love with them.
Do you like musicals?
Of course I love There Can Be Miracles When You Believe.
Okay. Yes. Oh, speaking of Jewish, this person singing, her name is
Ofra Winfrey.
Ofra Haza. And she was the Madonna of the East. And she's like one of the most famous Israeli singers. And I'm so sad that I'm talking over her right now because her voice is so beautiful.
Yeah, you can listen to her on Spotify. It's fine. It'll be on the playlist.
No, so this is when they're showing all the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, like building the pyramids, and they're like reaching out. Now the old men are getting whipped, and it's really moving. Like I cry.
You cry?
I cry when I see it, and I cry every time I hear this song. Ooh. Now,
is that due to your Bible ties?
I think it's kind of all. No, Bible actually, ties. Frankly, I think of like just general oppression when I hear that song too, and it's really that makes me sad.
There Can Be Miracles.
I don't remember the other songs.
Yeah. You don't
remember. And who was it? It was Whitney Houston and...
Whitney and Mariah.
Mariah, yeah.
So they did a rendition of it, but the people that sing it in the movie are different people, but...
Auto-tune Michelle Pfeiffer and whoever Sandra Bullock's...
No, Michelle Pfeiffer. Oh, yeah, she did sing.
And whoever's Sandra Bullock's voice devil.
She was great.
Which I think Bullock does sing a little bit when she's on the ground by the well.
No, actually, a trivia fact about that. That is one of the producers. So they did like a test recording, or she just recorded that to like fill in until they got the singer to come and dub it over. But they liked it because like how raw it sounded and kept it.
Hush now, my baby. Be still, love. Don't cry. Sleep as you're rocked by the stream. Sleep and remember my last lullaby, so I'll be with you when you dream.
I don't like the Mariah and Whitney version.
I don't either.
Oh, I liked it. It was a huge smash hit.
It won the Oscar for best song that year.
Yeah, they sang it at the Oscars.
Have you seen the music video? Not the Oscars performance, but the music video.
No, they made a music video with this?
And it's so funny. This is back when you would make music videos for big songs tying into a movie, and like an animated movie like this, because it was all part of like, I'm sure, an overall Oscar campaign.
Sure.
And the music video is them like on stage. And then there's like three huge screens behind them showing Prince of Egypt scenes.
Oh, right.
But they're kind of like disconnected from each other.
Okay.
And they hold hands. And then there's a huge runway and people are like screaming for them.
What?
Like on a catwalk. It's really weird.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah. It's like not making them false idols, if you will.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say, that's like not the point of the song.
Biblical themes of the show.
Well, I wonder if they had it in their contract. Like, do you remember the Brandy and Monica song, The Boy Is Mine?
Yes.
Is that
a duet? Is mine. Seem to have enough. You know.
I think I would if I heard it.
It's not hard to see the boy is mine. But in their contract, they had it so that down to the second, they each had to sing the exact same amount of seconds in the song.
No way.
And I would not put it past Whitney and Mariah to make a similar arrangement.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have it in your podcast contracts that you have to speak a similar. Yeah.
In the music video, you can actually see them kind of shoulder each other out of the frame one by one.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. But I love the song. So Stephen Schwartz is a composer. You may know him from such hits as Pippin, Wicked.
Oh.
Or another biblical. I wonder if anyone's ever heard this musical besides me. Children of Eden.
Nope.
It never made it to Broadway, but there was a devil. They did like a London cast recording, but it got really shitty reviews, and so they never put it out to Broadway.
But not somewhere in Texas, a young Kevin
was singing along
tuning
to
in.
All That I Have. Oh, yeah. Aww. Children of Eden, Stephen Schwartz.
Yeah, so. I think the music is one of the best parts of this movie.
It's a classy picture.
Yeah. One thing I liked about this movie is the female characters are really strong and they're really cool.
That's right.
And I feel like they're very prominent and I just didn't expect that, you know, 98, a different time. Sure. I didn't expect them to move
Friends
the story
was on. The air.
Yeah.
Smash Mouth Friends? Was climbing the charts.
We had no moral compass whatsoever for anything.
But they're like Miriam, who is Moses's sister. Who, by the way, is a prophetess, and a lot of feminist Jews and feminist Christians like embrace Miriam as like our gal.
Oh, wow. She's the Wonder Woman of that time, a Jewish superhero.
Yeah, if you will. And she's the one that kind of like pushes Moses to go, you know, deliver them and like step into his calling and stop being a little bitch. And Aaron, who is voiced by...
The Mr. Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. That was the most distracting voice, I think, in
really?
The whole thing.
Oh, I thought that was good casting because I was actually reading the Book of Exodus last night to like remind myself
in his
of what
voice?
It is. Well, they don't do this in the movie, but Moses was actually not a good speaker, and one of his like objections to God when he sends them out is that like I stammer and I stutter and I'm not a good speaker. Like, how am I going to go to Pharaoh?
Yeah, Moses was like Paul Giamatti and the Lady in the Water. Just
and so God said, well, your brother Aaron is a smooth talker, so he'll do all the talking for you. So I thought actually Jeff Goldblum was like perfect for that because he's kind of like quick talking.
Oh, my good prince. She's exhausted from the day's work. Not that it was too much. We quite enjoyed it. But she's confused and knows not to whom she speaks.
I know to whom I speak.
It sounds like he's seducing Moses. It sounds everything he says could be like, oh, okay.
Because he's that sexy.
Hey, yeah, why not? I enjoy. Was there any performance in particular that stood out to you? I did find it weird that Ralph Fiennes kind of had a...
British accent.
A British accent. Yeah. No one else did.
I feel like, the American cartoons, like, whatever the royal person is, they just get a British accent, like, whether they're in Mulan or not.
Because first I thought it was like a Hebrew versus the Pharaoh sort of thing, and like, oh, well, the Pharaoh has an accent, and then because Patrick Stewart was the other one. But no, it's just him.
It's just kind of his angle.
How was Ben Kingsley not a voice in The Prince of Egypt?
I know, right?
Seems like he should have.
He would have been great.
Yeah. Well, if you want to, you can sign my petition for recast the Prince of Egypt.
We're doing
with
it again.
Ben Kingsley.
I mean, it'd be easier than that All the Money in the World swap out.
And you don't have to reshoot anything. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I saw that movie. I mean, all this hubbub over such a boring, boring movie.
Hubbub in the world.
Yes, they should have called it All the Hubbub in the World. It's so boring. I mean,
really?
Are they doing another one with him on FX in a couple of months anyway?
I think so.
Yep.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, we get to relive it all over again.
Yeah.
Speaking of voices.
I'm playing Estelle Getty in an upcoming Golden Girls reboot.
Glam.
Yeah.
And you call your house the Getty Museum, right?
I do, yes.
Oh, I wish.
Speaking of voices.
Oh, what did you guys think of the voice of God?
The voice of God bugged me.
Oh, really?
It
not
did.
How you heard it, Kevin?
Mm-mm. To me, it sounds like this. I am the Lord your God.
No.
No one worshipped anyone but me.
Please forgive us.
It could
Lord,
be.
Please forgive us. No, so what they did with this is they cast Val Kilmer as Moses, but then he's also the voice of God.
Yes.
And they spoke to this decision a little bit, right?
Yeah, I was reading about that too. Well, originally they weren't going to have anyone be God. They were going to have everyone be God. Mm-hmm. So they had...
Like everyone in the cast talks at the same time?
Yeah, well, they had all the cast whisper God's words, and they were going to like mush it together to make a voice.
But it just would have been...
Yeah, and apparently it sounded weird, so they're like, okay, well, we need one voice to be a little louder. But they said if you go back and listen to the burning bush scene, you can hear his voice, but you can hear also the cast voices like whispering underneath.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's cool.
Oh, and another debate was they were at some points going to have God's voice be done by a woman. But the experts that they consulted were like, you really don't want to do that. You
will piss
people off. A woman and a child, I think they wanted to do. And then they were like, just stick with men.
A child?
Like how E.T. was a child and Deborah Winger.
What's this now?
E.T. was mixing a child and an animal of
His
some
voice.
Sort. And Deborah Winger to make E.T.
Oh, really?
I had no idea that was
a child
Deborah Winger.
And...
Child, some sort of animal, I think, was in the mix.
Did like the grunting, maybe?
Maybe, yes.
Wow.
And Howie Mandel played Gizmo in the Gremlins.
Now that I believe.
That's true. This is all true.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Telling you the truth.
We can listen. I believe you.
All right.
I believe that's true. This is the voice of God.
How can I even speak to these people?
It's Moses.
Who made man's mouth?
Oh, yeah, you can hear it.
Who made the deaf, the mute, the seeing,
the blind? I love
the
music here. The score is good as hell.
And chills.
Now go!
It's good. It's good.
Moses, I shall be with you when you go to the king of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not listen. So I will stretch out my hand.
Yeah, it sounds like a Voldemort.
It is a little wonders. Sinister.
Disembodied, it definitely does without the glowing white light.
Yeah, it sounds creepy.
I loved this depiction of God.
Yeah?
Yeah, this was one of my favorites that I've seen so far.
Because it was...
Listening again does sound a little creepy, but with the bush and everything, I feel like it's very hard to do... the voice of God without sounding like really hokey or really like overly serious in a way or
sure.
I don't know, like hearing just Val Kilmer in your head or something. And I thought they did a good job of making him sound like the awe-inspiring God and then also the God that you are familiar with who's just maybe in your head or like is comforting in the way like he soothes Moses after kind of like just yelling at him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I thought it was like, I was like, that is familiar to me and that felt like honoring in the way that it's not, and it's not also like a person's in body that is speaking too, to have it speaking like through these flames and winds and stuff was really cool. And I like appreciated that.
It was scary in a way that I liked.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that when he like slams him on the ground basically. But then the music is kind of that of grandeur.
Yes.
I thought in a way that was
very
really
heavenly.
Cool.
That must have been so hard to think about scoring that of like, how do I make something sound like heaven? How do you do that? Like,
how do you do that?
Where do you begin? And it has to be things like we haven't really heard.
You get Hans Zimmer on the horn.
Hans Zimmer.
Coachella artist Hans Zimmer.
He does headline at Coachella now.
Mm-hmm. He does?
A friend of mine is one of the backing vocalists in that little band.
What, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll play a Coachella set now. Just
people loved it.
Like that stuff.
Like the Inception song.
That's so funny. And then is he just kind of like stand up on the side with his arms crossed?
No, I'm sure he conducts and plays the piano. Like,
oh, there's an orchestra. Yeah. Okay. I thought he was just like, bink.
You thought he just, he's not
kinda
Skrillex.
Kind of like DJ'd it. Yeah.
DJ Hans. Well, one of the reasons this is one of my favorite scores I've heard of is because, so Schwartz does the songs. He does, you know, Deliver Us, When You Believe. Through Heaven's Eyes, which I think is my favorite song.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Interesting. All right, yeah. More on that later.
Na, 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 na. But then Hans is just rephrasing all the themes from those songs. The melodies from those songs are interwoven. And it really is a testament to like in the age of like Marvel movies where it's like, what's the song? What's the theme? There's nothing to latch onto. And this, it's like, just get five great melodies and repeat them over and over again. You're good. Like, that's Moses' theme. This is the theme for the Hebrews. This is Pharaoh's theme. Boom, you're done.
Yeah, and you can pick it up on it, too.
Yeah.
I remember when the whole Deliver Us, like, montage or whatever, when you see Moses, like, enter into the Pharaoh or the Pharaoh's wife's chambers, you even hear, like, his melody for a second.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally. That was really, like, it was artfully done.
Artful. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you love it now?
No, we're not putting you on trial. This isn't the TCAs, I promise.
No, no, no. I thought there was much to respect about the movie.
What do you think, like, story-wise, could have been done better?
Well, it's it's an age-old story, and you got to tell it kind of exactly how it's always been told. But in watching it, I just kind of felt like, I've seen this.
I don't think you can pair it with Patch Adams, though, and get the same experience.
That's true. As you would do. That's true. I mean, I'd love to see Patch Adams now and see what I think of all of it. You have to do this stuff kind of by in a familiar book. Way, by the book. If you're like, I guess they got no controversy out of it because it's such a faithful depiction.
Yeah.
But they put that weird disclaimer up at the beginning.
Right.
I think that covered their butts.
That probably helped them so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's so, and I don't think we need to like rehash. Well, this wasn't accurate. This wasn't in the Bible. Like, who cares? Like, Ramesses, I don't think Moses thought he was actually not a Hebrew.
Yeah, and they weren't raised as brothers. And also, Moses didn't accidentally kill the Egyptian. Like, he purposely killed him and buried him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he had to run away. There's, like, little things like that that kind of change his motivation.
Yeah, they made...
The rest of it's, like, family things are slightly different.
They made the murder a wacky misunderstanding in this movie. It was anything but...
Yeah. When Moses takes his little wig off.
Yeah?
Whew.
You got turned on?
Tell you what, boys.
What?
Moses looks good.
Well, I'm sure you can find plenty of Tumblr posts for this particular proclivity.
Yeah, I make them. You make them. I'm very familiar.
Ay. Don't love Val Kilmer as a voice actor, I gotta say. I think he does fine here, but I feel like everyone else is pretty great.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer has a good lady voice for just any... Man,
she does.
And for such a hot lady, too.
Yeah.
She did a great job.
Zipporah, baby.
Are you guys a Zipporah or a Miriam?
I'm gonna go Miriam.
I'm a Miriam.
I knew
too.
We'd have to talk about this tonight.
I would be a Miriam as well.
I even knew when I was 8 years old, I was like, I'm a Miriam.
So
watching it, I was like, Miriam's cool. She's smart.
I was watching this with a friend of ours the other night, and she said, I like this because Zipporah had a more realistic body. Because this came out close to when Hercules came out.
Sure.
And what's her face's body in that? It's
Meg.
Like crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Well,
but
it's like stylized.
By comparison.
Well, she's still very like slim.
Achievable.
It's not achievable.
It's achievable.
Miriam is achievable.
I'd say that every morning. Miriam is achievable. It's achievable.
You're meeting your personal trainer. Like, right. I just want that Miriam.
Give me the Miriam. Prince of Egypt
body. You know what I'm talking
Give
about.
Give me that Exodus bot.
Yeah. But okay, I don't think we need to do like a synopsis of what happens in the movie. You guys know Moses, he goes away, he comes back, he tells Pharaoh, let my people go. Right. He lets a bunch of plagues happen.
Ten plagues.
Frogs, locusts, blood in the water.
All the hits.
And then the most gruesome, maybe one of the most gruesome things I've seen in an animated movie.
Yeah.
That's rated PG. There were various points in this movie I was like, wow, this is a lot.
I know.
And stuff that I remember from being a kid. And again, I haven't seen this movie in like 15 to 20 years. Things I remember from being a kid when the whatever we want to call it comes out for Passover.
Oh, right.
And starts killing all the firstborn.
It's very haunting.
It is. The sound with that is pretty wild, how they did the sound design.
Oh, yeah, the sound.
It almost sounds like an alien creature right there.
This is just a spooky sound city that you're playing.
No, this is from the movie.
It's a monster mash.
I was working in the lab.
But listen to this part where he takes the kid's breath. That's creepy. If you see that and you're like, because mom and dad, if you're a Christian or a Jewish kid, mom and dad are going to be like, it's fine, we can put it on. How are you seeing that shit?
Yeah. Well, and it's like this big creepy cloud that like comes out of the sky,
white,
and it's like flying through the streets and like coming up at a door and then running away. And then if it takes a kid's life, it makes that sound, and it's really
wild,
unnerving.
Much like the Dementors.
Is this a Harry Potter movie?
Wait a minute. Ray finds the Dementors.
I'm saying maybe the Bible ripped off Harry Potter.
I think you're right.
Something to think
Damn
about.
Damn it, those hacks.
I can't wait to go on Twitter after we stop recording tonight and see what new piece of information J.K. Rowling's unleashed onto the public.
The Bible stole from me.
Actually, Ron was a twin.
Yeah.
And never met his other twin.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I love Johnny Depp.
Something they don't really address in this movie, but that gives Christians a lot of grief or a lot of difficulty, is the fact that God is taking children's lives, which just previously you've been like, oh, that Pharaoh, he was a real bad dude. He killed all those babies.
Yeah, it's like the plagues are annoying. They're locusts. They're inconveniences.
Right, they're like gross. They're like boils.
And then it gets
like
into, he legit kills a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
The one I remember is like when you see it go into the little shack and you hear that pot shatter and then you just see that kid's arm come out.
Flop out. Yeah.
That is gruesome.
Yeah, that was
that
really
is
graphic.
So much.
I remember as a kid, like kind of half understanding that and then being like, I don't want to talk about that.
No.
I would have had the kid's hand drop a rattle, unclench a rattle.
Just to make it even.
And then the rattle rolls into the street where a horse passing by stomps it.
Oh my God.
Wow. See, this is the Personal. Adaptation you were looking for.
This is the kind of detail that would have spiced it up.
A little edge.
See, I want to see Patrick Walsh's Prince of Egypt or Book of Exodus.
I do
again,
too.
Season 2
of
Living Biblically.
Well, wasn't that one that Ridley Scott did called Exodus, Gods and Monsters? So it was the same story.
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
I don't know what was different there, but I'm going to
look that up.
Apparently, they took a lot of liberties.
Yeah,
I bet Kingsley
so.
Was in that one.
He was in one of them that came out in the
he
last 10
years. He was in that
years.
One, I think.
But I feel like swords and sandals stuff, like especially live action, it feels like we're done. Like
I
we don't want
done.
That anymore.
You know,
300 was the last one.
That I did not
like. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Exodus, last one they even did.
Gods and Kings, not gods.
Gods and Kings.
Gods and Kings.
Gods and little monsters.
I keep trying to put monsters where they
don't. Monster babies.
No monsters.
But I remember they asked Ridley Scott, like, why did you cast Christian Bale as Moses?
I remember this response.
And he goes, look, I'm not going to make money releasing a $200 million movie with like Jabu Jabamba in the lead or something.
He did say it like that.
It was something that dismissive.
Yeah. Ridley Scott is a true asshole.
Ooh, that is really bad.
Oh, wait. So it's Bale as Moses, Joel Edgerton as Ramses. This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Paul as Joshua.
Whatever.
What?
Ben Kingsley, thank you, as
You're
Nun.
Welcome.
Got one in there.
Nun. All right. I mean, I don't want to see this thing
He
either.
Plays a nun that tells the whole story to the school children.
Uh-huh.
And then Moses
and then
said,
guess what?
Let my people go.
Oh.
And that's Ben Kingsley.
Why are you, man?
Shh. Now.
Shh.
There's a Zipporah and a Bithia and blah, blah, blah. So they go a little deeper.
Sure.
I don't recall a Bithia and the Prince of Egypt.
What was your least favorite song in this movie, Caroline?
What is my least favorite song?
I thought When You Believe was one of my least favorite songs.
It's the only one that's memorable to me.
Yeah, I could see that, but I think I have too much nostalgia associated with it because I liked it when I heard it, and then I sang it in choir too, and we sang it with like the kids' choir too, so mm-hmm. they came doing like that. So the little kids sang that?
Yeah.
And it was like really adorable. It's very moving when you hear a crowd of people sing that.
Actually, you know
together.
What? I think the very worst song in this is All I Ever Wanted.
Yes, that's the worst one.
All I Ever Wanted.
It's like, I Can Go the Distance from Hercules. It's like that same kind
it's
of
the
thing.
I Want song. But listen to that.
Oh, no. That's good.
That's so wicked. That's like Defying Gravity or something. Like those ostinatos. Yeah. And yeah, you usually put an I Want song at this point in your musical, but you don't usually call it I Want.
I want some stuff.
I want some stuff.
I want the world. What's that, Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
I want the whole world.
I want the whole world. All right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before me. They are making Prince of Egypt into a Broadway musical right now. And they are going through that same controversy with whitewashing
the
cast.
They shut it down because the cast was white.
Yeah.
I think it's done.
The, what I read was like, it's done.
Done forever because of the whiteies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. White people do ruin everything.
There's so many Jewish people in the
world.
Well,
they had Jim Gaffigan as Moses, which I found outrageous.
Let my people have pockets.
He was the whitest guy I could think of.
No, the tablets are just too big hot pockets.
They got so many kids.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. as Ramesses.
Oh, see, that was a mistake.
Well.
I keep saying Ramesses. It's just Ramses, right?
No, but they say Ramesses in the movie.
Anything else we want to talk about before we give our final thoughts on the movie? I did love the parting of the sea. I literally said, whoa, during when they like had the lightning flashes and the whale.
When the whales were going through, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
It was
just
cool.
Give me that, Patrick. Just give me
2 years they worked on that. Just to please you, Patrick.
Well, they
that
didn't.
Scene.
But here's the thing. Like, the Ten Commandments was in 1956 or something.
Sure.
And you see everything in the Ten Commandments that you see in the Prince of Egypt, pretty much.
Yeah, they did redo it. Well, so that was kind of like, how it came about, too. The guy was like, we should do Ten Commandments.
Yeah, that was
animated.
The goal.
Yeah.
But I guess I just wanted like some sort of different visual feel to it. You guys have sold me on the animation, which was cooler than I was willing to let on at the beginning.
Because you'll never see that 2D shit again. You really won't.
Yeah.
It's almost like a reverse of what Disney is doing now with their properties, where it's like, remember when it was animated? Now it's live action. Like Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. It's like, remember that live action thing? Now it's animated.
It's animated.
Prince of Egypt. Yeah.
Did you see the new Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, we walked out of it, actually.
Oh.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, when we saw the interruption
of
it. When I saw the real movie, I didn't walk out of it.
Oh, you saw it twice?
I didn't care for it.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought it was ugly looking.
I thought the castle was really cool.
Emma Watson sounded like T-Pain after
Can't
they were
act
done
her
with her
way
vocals.
Out of a paper bag. But anyway.
She's got the look.
But yeah.
Does
Pat,
she have anything else?
I haven't seen it. It's on Netflix. It was next to Prince of Egypt.
Oh, really?
Once I watched Prince of Egypt on Netflix, then it was like, well, you must like the Beauty and the Beast reboot.
You're like,
you figured out.
Ruined my whole algorithm.
Our goal for all of our guests is to ruin their recommendations on Spotify, Netflix.
I did check my daily mix on Spotify the other day and it was like, Rebecca St. James and Stephen Curry Chapman. I was like, no.
Oh, boy.
I don't want it.
It ends very abruptly with just a flash forward to Moses bringing down the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they just end there, which is, I think, an interesting choice because that is arguably one of the biggest parts of his story. And just be like, yeah, I think we're done here.
Yeah. I mean, their lives were bad after they crossed the sea.
Yeah.
It got real bad. And you see that play out more in the Ten Commandments. But
Oh, something that also isn't in this movie that might be interesting to talk about because it also caused a lot of grief among Christians is there's several verses when the plagues are going on in the book of Exodus where it's like, God did this to the land of Egypt. And then Moses said, hey, Pharaoh, do you want to let my people go? And Pharaoh's like, okay. And then as soon as Moses leaves the room, it says God hardens Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
And then Pharaoh says, you know what? Never mind. You don't get to go. And this happens over and over. And specifically saying like God basically turned Pharaoh inside out and made him say no on purpose.
Yeah.
Which is a real moral dilemma if you think about it. Like, oh, are any of our sins the product of like God hardening our hearts, like out of our control, basically?
It's wild. And this is hard. I feel like this gets into a larger theme of like, it's pretty nuts that we watch this movie where a bunch of kids get slaughtered. So.
Uh-huh. But we're like on Moses' team.
Yeah. And Moses does like mourn for that afterwards. You get a beat of him crying.
Yeah,
and then
he seems bummed.
Watching Ramses lay down his dead son on an altar.
Yeah.
Again, I couldn't believe this is in a PG movie. But it
is. And then how does that, I guess that opens up a discussion with parents because I was wondering, would kids even get it?
Right. Would they be like, wait, God did that? You're like,
God killed all the kids
in the
town. But
it's fine when God does it. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Which speaks to, again, with that stuff with Pharaoh's heart and hardening and stuff, like Old Testament God has some stuff.
Yeah. And it can be very hard to reconcile that with everything that Jesus says, like afterward.
Yeah. This is why I don't see this as a primarily Christian movie.
Right.
Even though we're here on good Christian fun.
Jews love a vengeful God. No,
is that true?
Yikes. I don't think so.
Whoa.
No.
Well, I think we should get to our final thoughts on the movie.
Yeah.
The way this works, Patrick, we're going to give it a holy toast, Or holy roast. Holy toast is a thumbs up. We're sending this baby to heaven where the angels will be toasting it
right.
with some virgin champagne. Heaven-bound. Holy roast, we're sending it to heaven. We're just going to burn in hell forever.
Oh my. You know, you said send me to heaven where it will burn in hell forever is what you just said.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Send it to hell where it burn in hell forever. Wow.
Guys, I misspoke.
Dang.
And there's nothing in between sending it to roast eternally in hell.
Well, Patrick,
I'm sending it to heaven, the best place on earth.
I'm so glad you asked.
Welcome to Christianity.
Because
yeah, that's true.
If you want to put it somewhere between heaven and hell, we do have a purgatory option where you can send it to
the space between.
The space between.
So we'll start with you, Caroline.
I really, really love Prince of Egypt. The music is so iconic, and it's something that moves me emotionally more than a lot of Christian music does, sure. which is maybe surprising. And I think it's just the way they tied it in to, like, just the scale, and you can really feel their oppression and really feel their like, tiredness and their sadness and everything, and to see mm-hmm. what this is like for them. And it, yeah, and just depicts, like, slavery or oppression in such a, like, very visceral way that a lot of this music feels very heartfelt and beautiful. I felt like the way God depicted also was cool, and the miracles, like, they weren't hacky or they weren't, I don't know, I just never caught myself, like, rolling my eyes of, like, all right, cool way to, you know, make sure God is
boy,
in this.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, and it never felt preachy either, like I was told to believe in God through this, or that, like, faith was really shoved down my throat or anything. It was very just like, here's the story, here's what happened, you may go about your day. If you want to.
You may go about your... Yeah, they release you at the end.
Yeah, they say, do whatever you want. Yeah, and I think the message is, even if you're not a person of faith, like, speaking truth to power and believing in the freedom of things is really cool, and I thought it was just well done that way. And I love the women in it. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
And so I give it a holy toast.
Send
that,
a holy
send
toast.
Send that right to heaven.
Okay, Patrick.
I mean, to me, knowing the three options, it's a perfect candidate for... The space between. Can't believe that guy was popular for that long.
Space between.
He always felt like Christian rock to me, even though it wasn't.
I get that, yeah.
Because I felt like there was a lot to admire, but that ultimately I just wasn't entertained by it. That's okay. All I can say.
Okay,
that's fine.
Yeah. It felt like they stole minutes from your life.
And then combined with this podcast, hours.
Oh, no, Patrick. Oh,
no.
Man.
No, that's not true at all.
We didn't talk about this, by the way. But,
Cars 3?
Nope. Not that. But I don't think this is like a Christian-made movie.
No, this is a DreamWorks joint. This yeah. is mainstream.
Which I was thinking, why it's so good.
Well, it's good?
Maybe.
Because yeah. they don't. I don't feel like there's an agenda here.
No, and I was thinking that's why it feels so much more like you can breathe a little bit or just enjoy.
I agree.
There doesn't feel like there's an agenda beyond just like telling this story maybe yeah. sort of faithfully, right?
Yeah. No, I think so.
I didn't feel preached to at all.
It you felt like they were yeah. just painting with biblical colors
yeah.
rather than, guys, we need you to think this coming out of it.
Right.
Even the songs like, there will be miracles you can't achieve. It's like, what? What does
yeah,
that mean?
It could yeah. be a kind of a believe in yourself
yeah,
song.
It's totally a believe in yourself song. Yeah. That was one of the things I remember when my mom was like, you can achieve. It should be God
my
can
parents
achieve.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, yeah. Everyone gets a participation award.
Sure.
Yeah. And I was thinking, like, if Christians made this movie, how different it would feel, or like, how many times you'd probably hear some Jew be like, if only there was someone else who
yeah,
could deliver us.
They were totally amended to like,
something like
one
that.
Day there will be a Messiah yeah. and he'll be Jewish like us.
Yeah, maybe.
I like that our impressions of Jewish people are just Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, one day, maybe I'll find a Messiah.
That's what an ancient Jew sounds like.
Yeah, that's
Bruce.
Right.
Well, for myself, I walked in with an open heart and an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I was prepared to not like this movie and to have it just whatever positive effects I remember from my childhood be chalked up to whatever nostalgia or, mm-hmm. but this wasn't like a, every week I got to watch Prince of Egypt, like Airplane or Clue. I watch every day for like 3 years of my life. I think I watched those movies. This is one of those, but it's great. I think it's a terrifically mm-hmm. just constructed animated movie that also happens to be biblical in nature. I right. think the songs are good, All I Ever Wanted notwithstanding,
mm-hmm.
With Val Kilmer singing double. And There, When You Believe is fine, but it's just my least favorite out of the good songs in it. Through Heaven's Eyes, I think is a dope melody.
Oh, yeah, you can talk about
and
that.
Such a cool like perspective. Like everything they're saying in the lyrics.
How can you know what a life is worth?
So how can you see what your life is worth? Or where your value lies? You can never see through the eyes of man. You must look at your life. Look at your life through heaven's eyes.
I'll see that whitewashed musical on Broadway. No, I won't. It would be funny if it was in a theater.
I'll support the hell out of that.
Right next to Hamilton. Oh, it's like White Prince of Egypt.
No.
And like all the MAGA people show
I
up.
Hope they make that musical. That would be so good.
Just fix it. Just fix
just
the casting.
Get some different folks.
What was the Steve Martin song?
Oh,
that was a bad
with
song.
With the big boys now.
Yeah, that was a bad song.
Yeah,
because
it was
with the big
much.
Boys now.
You're playing with
oh
the
that
big
whole
boys
sequence
now.
Where it's like yeah they're doing tricks for each other, but there was like barely a melody.
Yeah,
I felt like too.
That was like the Scar song where they were like
yeah. Well, there's a lot of shared DNA. I feel like because Lion King was 94.
I agree. It felt
also
Lion King
African
response.
Setting. Yeah.
Right.
Oh right. Yeah.
You know, little did we know that this would be the same animated studio to put out Turbo a few years later.
Yeah.
That snail movie where he's like
oh
racing.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Racing snail.
Racing snail movie.
But for me, I love Stephen Schwartz songs. I love the animation. It was gorgeous to watch. And there were so many parts in the openings where I did get choked up.
Yes.
At certain parts. So I'm giving it a holy roast. So despite
no,
Patrick's. Oh no, I keep doing that. We're gonna.
I think that getting emotional could only really come from being religious.
You think so? Not just the beauty of the movie?
That could
I
be.
Think so.
I think so. You know what? Now you say that too. That makes sense of thinking like, because I know the context of Israel and like all the stuff they're going to go through and everything.
And
like
that's what you were sobbing. I know the context of Israel.
I was just like, the context.
But the context. So I guess, guys, we're saying this to heaven. But we're not the final word on where this is going. You're
you
the final
God
word.
You let God wait? Oh, okay.
No. He does
well,
not get
oh,
a vote.
That's implied.
Implied or implode? We let you, the listener, weigh in on Twitter. So go to @ChristianFunPod. You can give it a holy roast or a holy toast. So why don't you get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Caroline, Patrick, it's time for another installment of The Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of All Time.
The worst!
Oh, yeah. Hunt for the Worst Christian Song of All Time. The current reigning champion is a song called Evolution Redefined
right.
by Jeff Moore and The Distance. Bazinga, Big Bang Fiction, guys.
Therefore, Cro-Magnon, man.
Okay. So we made Patrick listen to this song. You actually watched the music video, didn't you?
I did watch the music video.
What were your thoughts on that?
I'll tell you, the gentleman who portrayed the professor was a little broad in his performance.
Okay.
A little big, okay. I would say.
Okay.
You heard him just now. The band looked ridiculous, and it was one of those things that they do when the band starts to get old, like all Aerosmith videos.
Sunglasses?
They have like a 17-year-old girl act out your words, and rarely even cut to the band. So they were cutting to these younger kids in this video.
Okay.
You haven't seen this video?
No,
you
just haven't seen it. Yeah. Paint me a picture.
But yeah, the band is probably, you know, like late 40s, and they all look like they're concealing pretty heavy cocaine habits. And they're, you know, rocking out, whatever. But most of the time, they're on this young couple in high school.
Uh-huh.
And you see the old guys like rocking once in a blue moon for a second. Because they're trying to appeal to the kids.
Sure.
Right. The kids are, well, the kids are one who needs to hear this.
Yeah. But the melody is terrible. The lyrics are terrible.
So you didn't connect with the message of this song.
I didn't. Where would you have seen that video back in the
That's
day?
A good
where
question.
Would
it have aired?
I think it would have been on.
Was there a CMTV?
It would have been on like TBN, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question.
Cause they show music videos?
I think they would show Christian music videos.
Huh.
Like, or it might have been, you know, sometimes like ABC Family turns into the 700 Club after like 1 a.m. Maybe it'd be on that. I don't know.
I think it'd be like packaged with a VHS for some other Christian thing. Like that just comes on before for some reason, right. You know?
Yeah, because that's the thing. There are a lot of Christian music videos. What was the primary platform?
You see it at Cracker Barrel because Cracker Barrel releases a lot of Christian music for some reason.
That's true. They're a leading
exclusively
name in that.
You know, once I saw Smokey Robinson perform at the Hollywood Bowl.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And he said, folks, we're going to do one now off my new album, The Quiet Storm. It's only available at major Cracker Barrel locations. And the audience laughed really hard. And he goes, oh, no, I'm quite serious.
Oh, no.
It's only available at Cracker Barrel restaurants.
Wow.
I had never heard of Cracker Barrel being such a music platform.
They release stuff, like Starbucks releases stuff.
Yeah. And then afterwards Michael he said. Michael W. Smith came out of Cracker Barrel.
That's right.
All stuff. Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm going to do one more off of The Quiet Storm. And the crowd was silent. And he looks up and goes, oh, thank you both. As if
two
people had clapped.
Oh.
It was very funny.
Wow.
But he knew he was making. Oh, okay. He knew he was being funny.
Okay.
That
was in his
so
right
tragic.
Mind.
It sounds sad, but he was very funny.
he
had good
right
jokes.
So the way this works is that's our current champion. We're going to listen to a new song.
Okay. Decide if it's worse.
And we're going to decide whether it's worse.
Okay.
We'll vote on it. We'll listen to it. This is a song called The Big M.
Marriage?
Well, you'll find out.
Murder?
Not be masturbation.
The Big M by Less Control.
Maybe it is masturbation. Came after Green Day, did it?
Can you tell? All right. We're grooving in the room.
A lot of soul in the playing.
Yeah.
It's natural. It's a release. It's natural.
Oh, boy.
It's a release. 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 A release from what? Your sexual appetite? Forget it. Get real. It's artificial sex.
Oh, my God.
Masturbation. It's artificial sex.
Whoa.
Masturbation. It's artificial sex. Masturbation. It's artificial sex.
No.
No. Some of you will want to find a man.
Okay.
Wait until then.
Oh.
And have the real thing.
Could have rhymed with masturbate.
Sexual sin against your own body. Sexual sin is a sin against your own body.
Wow.
The body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Your body's for the Lord.
I've never seen Caroline make this face.
Is this a joke?
No, it's not.
I feel insane.
It's not. It's not.
It sounds like such a parody.
It's not.
Oh.
It feels like a parody, but it's not.
Stop! Do a guitar solo instead!
Do a guitar solo instead.
So they have a little bit of humor to it.
Yeah, they're like punk rock guys.
Right, uh-huh. Kind of a ska.
What are some other tracks from the album?
Well, let me tell you, Patrick Walsh.
Oh.
This is obviously worse than The Evolutions.
My God.
You know what? Musically, I don't know. It isn't. Musically, it isn't worse.
You Make Me Puke, Return to Vomit, Planned Parenthood, Deliverance, Virginity Disease, Real Men Cry, Mad at the Girls.
Mad at the Girls.
Get Married, Sex Rant Intro.
Can we hear the Sex Rant Intro?
Wow.
Everyone out here is extremely special. And everyone out here, every one of us need to take our sexuality very seriously.
Okay.
We don't even get our name at birth until we know what sex we are. Our sexuality is part of our identity. And this culture, this whole world, has got sexuality and God's idea of it turned upside down. We need to think very seriously about that. Even more importantly than our sexuality, though, is our relationship with God.
He's so out of breath.
There is a God. You look at these trees.
Punk rockers.
And you know there's a God. The chances of evolution happening is like a paper factory exploding.
What?
All the piles and the leaves of paper in the air fly to the ground. They land in.
What's this about sex?
It took a hard right into evolution right there.
That's the odds and the chances of evolution actually happening. Of cells randomly coming together to create one living cell.
Sorry for making everyone
listen to this.
Someone's
been reading his apologetics books.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Wait, I want to get to, what was that last thing he said in the Big M?
Think about it, man. Put your body in subjection. Take all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Masturbation.
All right.
gotta be the only song where masturbation is the chorus. Or even that's mentioned in a lyric?
No, there's plenty of songs that Stewfound Stevens has a song about masturbating.
There's a Green Day song that says masturbation has lost its fun.
The Divinals, I Touch Myself.
Jeez. Okay, I don't want to hear anymore. I'm good, guys.
Patrick and I will be releasing
a lot of rap.
Spotify playlist.
A lot of rap.
No, you can stop now.
Okay, so that's the Big M.
Wow.
I'm shocked.
Patrick truly looked taken aback.
It's one thing to sing about it, and then it just cuts out, and he starts yelling at you.
Yeah, those were the parts where I thought the guy was not well.
He's well. He's just saying the things that you probably learned at youth group.
Do you think he was a virgin when he wrote that song?
Ooh.
No, I bet he had a lot of sex, and then he got saved.
Uh-huh.
And then he was
it's artificial sex.
Yeah, and then he... Because I've seen that happen where it's like someone lives the punk rock life and they just they just indulge in whatever, and then they quote unquote get saved, and then they
masturbate for the first time.
But
yeah.
Oh, this is dirty. I'm sorry.
No. I mean to say, sometimes people that come out of that, they become a person of faith, can be even more hard-nosed.
Yeah, like far more legalistic
and conservative
than anyone else,
because they're so trying to run away from their old self that they're like, no, you can't ever do that. That can
be judgy, even though they have already had their fun.
Right. Or it's worn as a badge of honor of like, I did that.
Right.
Or a badge of honor. No.
Come on, Kevin.
What?
Come on,
Caroline, you're too mean to me.
Okay, I loved that joke.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's
a really good contender.
It's either
who submitted that?
That was you know what? Well, that came in from multiple
several people.
Yeah. It came in from like literally 10 people.
Well, thank you to the GCFers.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we're settling to GCFers, aren't we?
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you, GCFers, for saying that in. So, guys, what's the worst song? Is it Evolution Redefined or the Big M? Because there is an element of the Big M that is kind of hilarious, which I don't find Evolution Redefined to be funny at all.
Evolution, I would say, is the worst song because it didn't make me feel anything, whereas the masturbation song made me feel shocked.
Yeah, and appalled.
And appalled.
I think... Evolution Redefined, though, is a song. Or is this?
This is just...
Yeah.
It felt like a minimalist art piece.
Yeah.
Seemed like something you'd see at the LACMA.
What year did that come out? It seemed like right after Green Day.
The Big... I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
You don't have to look it up.
No, I have to look it up. I owe it to you and our listeners to look it up. No, not now, Siri.
Ken's a real numbers freak, too, when
That's
it comes
not true.
To the dates of things happening. And I love it about you.
Thanks!
I'm proud of you and your good memory.
Yeah, I think the Evolution song is worse.
1992 is when it came out.
Yeah, right after Brenda. Yeah.
Caroline, what say you?
I say the Big M is the worst song.
It's hard to argue with either choice.
It's very... You can't go wrong.
No.
No.
Their first album, by the way, Less Control, is their first album is This Is a Condom Nation.
They talked about sex a lot.
Yeah, oh, man. A whole lot.
I mean, we could read it. Maybe we'll do a whole episode about Lust Control.
Hearing their song titles, I want to now.
So I guess it's down to me.
Yeah.
The tie-breaking
vote. Oh, wait. No, what was your vote, though?
My vote was Evolution.
The Evolution is the worst one? Yeah. Okay.
Because it was boring.
Evolution is boring. But I don't know if that makes it worse.
Did you remember the wacky professor voice, though?
Now, Darwin... That was grating. Now, is Wacky Professor more grating than...
If you saw the video, if you look at the professor in the eye, then that might help your decision. But that's not a fair way to look at him. It should be song against song.
If I vote for the Big M, that means next week's guest has to listen to it, though. That's a rough go.
That's great.
Okay, I'm voting for the Big M. Yes. That's the worst song. Goodbye, Evolution Redefined. You had a good 2-week run.
Yeah.
A big bang.
A big bang, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And now, guys, it's time to bring it down. Patrick.
Yes. I feel like it's a massage about to happen.
Oh, kind of in a way. Now, you've probably been on other podcasts before. Other podcasts that maybe I've been on as well.
I have.
And we've done stuff where we've like promoted ourselves and plugged our projects and said where you can find you on social media. But we're not here to do that.
Oh.
We're here to lift it up.
That's
what
right.
We call lifting it up.
Where
we
home.
We lift up our projects.
We share
what we're working on. What we're enjoying, even maybe in secular culture.
Uh-huh.
And our social media handles. Caroline, what do you want to lift up?
If everyone could be lifting up my episode on Tell Me Everything, a newish podcast.
Ah, podcast, yeah.
Yeah.
From Kira and Ken's.
Kira and Ken's. And they have people on to talk about things that they're passionate about and tell them everything. And I was on and talked about faith and podcasting. And it was very fun.
It's incredibly on brand.
I know. So if you'd like to hear me talk about myself more,
yeah, we'll
that's
out.
Coming out January 21st. You can also lift me up at Totem Spirit Wolf on Instagram and Twitter. And I would like to, something that's been on my heart and my mind, is the My Brother and Me TV show. Because we had Travis on
recently.
Heard
of them. Oh, he's from that?
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
No.
Oh, it's huge.
Okay.
You'd love it. It is still streaming for free on a platform called VRV. So I watched it all and I was laughing super hard by myself. So if you'd like to be lifted in your spirit, go check that out.
By those beautiful brothers.
That's right.
Patrick, what do you want to be lifting up this week?
Well, I'd love to lift up my own podcast. We'll See You in Hell.
I listen to this podcast. It's a terrific show.
It sounds like it would be at odds with a show about religion, but it's not. It's me and comedian Joe DeRosa argue, get in fights, talk about generally horror movies, but we talk about all kinds of different things. It's very funny. I'd like to lift up my Twitter and Instagram handle,
mm-hmm.
The Patrick Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may...
One of my favorite joke writers on Twitter, I'll say.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
That's true. It's true.
Thank you for lifting me up.
I lift you up.
And I'd like to lift up my show, Living Biblically.
Yeah.
Premieres February 26th on CBS, 9:30, 8:30 Central. Stars J.R. Ferguson from Mad Men, Lindsey Kraft, Tony Rock, brother of Chris, breakout star, David Krumholtz, you know him, you love him, Ian Gomez, Cameron Manheim, Academy Award nominee June Squibb.
Oh, Squibb was crushing it when I saw
that
show.
She was crushing it.
Yeah, she's good.
It's a heck of a cast and a heck of a show, and I hope you watch it.
All right, we'll be lifting that up for you, Patrick.
Church of GCF, assemble. Service starts at February 26th.
Yeah, that's right.
You little GCFers out there, start your engines. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter on the platforms aforementioned. Be lifting up my Instagram stories, my future account
your
on Vine, too.
Instagram stories?
Mm-hmm, specifically.
You getting back on Vine?
V2? You know I'm there, baby. I'm starting a YouTube channel. I've been working with this guy. His name's Logan. He's been teaching me a lot of stuff, how to be on YouTube.
There's something
on YouTube.
I should tell you.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
You guys are going to Japan together, right?
Yeah.
Do some content.
We're recording this way in advance of it coming out. We're recording this in November of 2017.
Gonna be fun. I think that's going to go well for you.
We're
going to
have a great trip, you guys. Yeah. And I want to lift up the Phantom Thread. Or no, not the Phantom Thread, just Phantom Thread. And specifically the score to it by Johnny Greenwood of the aforementioned Radiohead band, True Love Waits. It is my favorite score of 2017. I love it so much. I don't even think it's out yet. But you should watch that movie when it goes wide in a couple weeks. Yeah, it's a mesmerizing, entrancing movie in a way that won't make you feel gross and disturbed like The Master did.
Yeah.
Or confused and mad like Inherent Vice did.
Yeah.
It's good. It's very good. And the score is very great. Oh, and you can check out my other podcast, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel Goyes. That I'm hosting with Alice Wetterlin.
So great.
We're talking about every episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Love that show. Love Alice.
Chasing Amy, part 3. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Christian Fun Pod. You can listen to every song featured on the show on our Christian Fun Spotify playlist. You can also send us an email, goodchristianfun@gmail.com, and leave us a review at iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And for every review you leave, we send $1 to charity.
Yeah.
The charity for this month is...
This month is Covenant House. We've been doing them the last couple months. They provide housing for homeless teens that live in L.A. They're great. They're really well rated. And they've got Oprah approval. If you want a little presidential seal on
hashtag
that one.
Hashtag nothing but respect for my president.
They do great work. So you'll be supporting them and supporting us.
Yeah. Come on, you little GCFers.
Pony it up.
You're not ponying
we
up
are.
Anything. We are. Yes, and of course, that's it.
Of course, that's
and
it.
And of course, that's it. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What a delight.
This is so fun.
There's nothing left to say. Except for, in all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Man.
Very good. Let's go out on an Academy Award winning banger. Oh, yeah. Imagine an inspirational sports movie starring Putty, Mary Swanson, and Hannah Montana's boyfriend. Next week on GCF, we're watching the film Hoovy, H-O-O-V-E-Y, which you can find available for streaming on Netflix.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.